Thank you, Brother Cox. My. That's sets you up in heavenly places, don't it? We'll hear from Brother Cox in a little bit. He is one of our speakers tonight. But our first speaker tonight is Brother Don Chitty. He's from Open Bible Baptist Church out in Waterflow, New Mexico. Now, Indian Reservation out there, I'm going to let him tell you all about it, but I am impressed with what God has used this man to do and the place that he used him to do it in. And tremendous amount of souls that's been saved. He's been there a number of years. Brother Chitty, I don't know you all that well, but I know of your work. I want you to come on up tonight and speak to us. Now, we're going to hear from him later in the conference, but I think we're going to hear from him tomorrow night. But, of course, with Brother Plowman out tonight, we ask him to step up first tonight.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Well, thank you. Did not get saved after I'd fought a war in the Marine Corps, married and had kids before I ever got saved. And I made my mind up when I got saved that when I go to a church, if nobody else has a good time, I'm going to have a good time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can come to a Bible conference and you sit there, act like you was born at night and winged on a dill pickle. Or you can come and smile and say, God, speak to me about something. Amen. So it's just, Bible conference can be whatever you want to get out of it. Lady had twin boys. One was optimist, one was a pessimist. And it was severe both ways, both directions. She took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, I've got no problem. I've handled this before. And he had a big gymnasium-looking building. And he took the little boy that was a pessimist, and he put him in a room with nothing but every toy a kid his age could ever want. He took the optimist boy and he put him in another room the same size, and nothing was in there but horse manure. Only thing was in the room. He said, just leave him in there for an hour and we'll go check on him. Went back an hour later in the room with all the toys, any kind of toy the little boy would want. Looked in there and he's sitting in a corner crying. He said, ma'am, I've just never seen anything like it. Went in there and picked the little boy up and sort of set him up. And he said, son, you got every kind of toy in the world. You could be playing with every one of them you want to. We told you that. What is your problem? He said, I'm afraid I'll break them. No, just threw his hands up. He and the mother went down to the next room full of nothing but horse manure. The kid is throwing horse manure everywhere. He's digging tunnels. I mean, you just wouldn't believe the sight that they saw. And he went in and said, oh, son, what in the world are you doing? He said, man, with this much horse manure, there got to be a pony in here somewhere. They will be something in this Bible conference that'll get you excited if you let it.
Amen.
If you let it. Take your Bibles tonight and look at Mark chapter 11. A familiar story, but one often overlooked. In Mark chapter 11, I'll give you a second to find that, and then I want to give you something that I believe will help you if you'll let it. By the way, anything in this old King James Bible will help you if you'll let it. The Lord told us that if he gave us everything that the world could not contain, the books it would take to write it down. Now think about that. Yeah, they think about the Sears Tower and the Empire State Building, and then overseas somewhere in one of the Arab countries, they just out to show so they could and show off, they built the world's tallest building. But just think if you had books touching each other on this earth, and it went as high as those skyscraper big buildings. He said it would take that much room if he told you everything. But guess what, boys and girls? He left us one book. And you young people, listen to me carefully. Quit tearing it down. Stand for it. Even when it's not popular, you stand for this old book, and you'll never regret it. This is one of those stories here that I'm about to give you that this, when I first start reading, you go, I don't know what he's talking about. This is so familiar. And by the way, let me warn you about something this week. When a preacher tells you to open your Bible to a certain portion, and you say, well, I don't need that. I already know that part of the Bible. You do not know more than God. And this is a living book. You could have 20 preachers in a row preach John 3:16 and get something new out of it if you wanted to. Amen. God did give us this one, and I want you to see something, please. In Mark chapter 11, verse 12 says this, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now skip to verse 20, if you would, please. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Father, I ask you to bless the reading of your holy word. I've asked you now for weeks to make me a blessing and use me. I ask that again tonight. Thank you for what we've heard with the music, the choir, and the special music. Now we ask you to let us hear from you. Would you do us a favor tonight? Would you bind the devil and all his devils and keep them out of here? God, give us the liberty we need. Holy Spirit, take the liberty you need to go from heart to heart, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's an amazing story, and please hear me out before you think I'm a quack and turn me off, if you would, please. In verse 13, the Bible says, "And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves." Underline having leaves. When you see a tree with leaves, you know it's alive. It's not dead. You can know there's life in it by its leaves. When we that are Christians, we have leaves that shows people we're alive. When we have the right Bible. I said when we have the right Bible. When we have the right name, when we have the right music, when we got the right dress code. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Thank God for leaves. It shows life. When Jesus looked afar off and he saw a tree over there with leaves, and if you remember correctly, the leaves are big old leaves. That's what Adam and Eve made aprons of. That's how big they were. Think about that for a second. And when Jesus saw that tree, saw all the leaves on it, he said, "Good night." That got my attention. When I see you dressed right, you knock on my door and tell me about Jesus, and you got tattoos everywhere and ear piercing everywhere looking like you fell in your daddy's tackle box, I don't got time for you. Amen. But if you're going to be the part, look the part. Amen. You get mad at the preachers who get up here and tell you he's just a dictator telling me how to dress and where to go and where not to go. You ought to thank God for that, because very few preachers got enough guts to do that anymore. Amen. But the leaves is what got his attention. Are you listening to me? But watch what's happened now. "And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon." Uh-oh. The leaves wasn't enough. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Hey, you believe the book, right? He gets there and he says, "But wait a minute. Wow. I was hoping to find something else." And when he came to it, what did he find? Nothing but leaves. That is in the book. You'll see that? Now stay with me just a second. Because I want to preach you a message on this, more than leaves. More than leaves. Yes, leaves represented life. Jesus was wanting fruit. He was wanting, by the way, you know what he wants from me and you? Something other than just being saved. We say it's going to be all right. If I just make it so as my fire, I'll be all right. No, you won't. You'll have a glorified body. And that glorified body will want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. While others are taking crowns and laying at his feet, and others are being pulled up from his feet. By the way, you're not going to grab Jesus and hug him by the neck when you see him. Quit telling that lie. You're going to fall at his feet. And by the way, you're not going to complain about what you had to do down at the church house. You're going to wish you'd have done more. And you'll get to see somebody being pulled up from the feet of Jesus and held real tight in his bosom and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And you're going to be over there with nothing. Save so as by fire, and you tell me that's going to be okay. No, it won't be. It will not be. He wants more than you just being saved. Now, here's where you're going to laugh at me, but look at verse 14. Now, I want you to, it won't make sense to you unless you do, if I do what I ask you to do. Get your pen out. Verse 14. And Jesus, what's the third word? He did what? If you said something to me and I answered you, I'd be talking to you and you'd be talking to me. Do you agree or not? You believe the book? Watch this carefully now. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Get this picture in your mind, boys and girls. Are you ready for this? The disciples are watching. And Jesus Christ is carrying on a conversation with a tree. Is he or is he not? He answered it. He spoke to it. These disciples over here going, boys, I know that's Jesus. Just shut up. Something good is about to happen. I guarantee it. But you understand he's carrying on a conversation with the tree? You can laugh at me at midnight tonight. That's okay. But hey, look at me carefully. I'm so dumb, I believe even the periods and the commas and the question marks. I even believe the maps in the back. Amen. I believe it all. Now watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he's carrying on a conversation with a tree. Do you understand that? Now watch this carefully. Why, if he told us everything, the world couldn't contain the books, but he takes time out in the book he did give us and tells us about him carrying on a conversation with a tree? Why? It must be something here he wants us to understand. It must be something here he wants us to get. Now watch this carefully. Why would Jesus carry on a conversation with a tree? Number one, he wants more than leaves. Watch this carefully. The Lord expects fellowship with his creation. Let me repeat that. The Lord expects fellowship with his creation. How many college kids we got here? Be honest with me, kids. I'm sorry. Listen to me carefully. I'm older than dirt. My social security number is 3. So I do not mean to call you kids, but everybody's a kid, bless God. You're a kid. You hate me now, but you'll like me when you get older. Everybody okay? When I was in college, I got so backslid in a Christian college. Look at me. It can happen to you too. You know what happened to me? Instead of reading my Bible and praying and spending time with God every morning, we started every class. It didn't matter if it was math class, English class, the place I went to, it didn't matter. Whatever we did, they opened it with prayer and something from the Bible. And I substituted that for my personal time with God. You look at me. You'll never have to have me come back and preach again, but you look at me. You get your carcass out of bed, and you spend time with God before you go to class. You're right, preacher. Amen. The Lord wants fellowship with his creation. And he created you. Don't you think? Now don't think out loud. Think yourself real fast. Ready? Give me one good reason, just one, why the Lord should meet with you for any reason. Because you're good? You're no better than that. Because you're not a sinner? You know better than that. Because you're perfect, you know better now. No matter what excuse you come up with, you cannot come up with one good reason why the God of heaven should meet with you. But glory to God in the highest, he will. Amen. God gave us this story to teach us that he expects fellowship with his creation. Number two, look at verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. The Lord not only expects fellowship with his creation, the Lord wants you to have faith in him. Now, that sounds simple. A college kid would say, well, good night. A third grader could come up with this outline. Listen to me carefully. Saying it's easy, living it's a different story. You young people, listen to me carefully. Very few people live by faith anymore. I mean, very few. Very few missionaries have the pioneer spirit anymore. but you can have it. Let's be careful. People your age are getting away from the local church. They're getting away from the King James Bible. They're getting away from soul winning. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. And by the way, I don't mean to get in trouble, but you ought to know that what you believe is in the Bible and not what some college told you or some preacher told you. You'll last longer and you'll go further for God if you'll know that book and what it says. If you believe it, show it to me in the Bible. It should be your attitude. The Lord wants you to have faith in Him. And by the way, I'm talking about more than saving faith. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something now. You're going to call me a heretic. Ready? I believe the day you were born, you were given a measure of faith. I believe God is so graceful and so good and so merciful that when you were born, He gave you what it would take to get saved if you wanted to get saved. Go ahead and laugh at me, but I believe that. I believe you were meted out a measure of faith. So I don't believe He's talking. Who's He talking to here, by the way? The disciples just saw what happened. He's talking to the disciples. I think they'd already accepted Christ. But He's saying, I want you to have faith, but not just saving faith. I want you to have the kind of faith that moves you to do something for God. You'll graduate from college, and 5 years from now, we won't even know who you are. You'll never be in church again if you're not careful. But have the kind of faith that moves you to do something for God. Amen. Then watch this carefully. Why did He carry on a conversation with the tree? The Lord wants you to have fruit to minister to others. He wants you to have fruit to minister to others. Did you know if you go to an apple tree and you go to pluck an apple or pick one off the ground, you'll never see an apple tree reach down and slap you. Go, nope, that's mine. Leave it alone. You'll never see a limb come from off that tree and just slap the fire out of you. You know why? The apple tree's producing the fruit for others. Amen. You know it's true. We're supposed to produce fruit. Fruit of faith. Amen. Fruit of soul winning. It's all supposed to be for others. You know why we run buses? So we have big crowds? It'd be cheaper not to run them. And by the way, it'd be easier not to run. Insurance wouldn't be so high. Our buses goes 100 miles one way. Brother Chad and I was driving down here a while ago, and I talked to my son on the phone. How'd it go yesterday? He said, Daddy, we had over 200 on buses yesterday on an Indian reservation. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Listen to me carefully. God, not how mercy. Have some fruit for others. Is there evidence in your life? And I'm just asking. I quit preaching. I'll pry for a minute, okay? I'll pry on your business. Is there any evidence whatsoever in your life that you're helping someone other than you? I mean, if we had to go to court over this deal, could we come up with enough evidence that you're doing something for someone other than you? Oh, yeah, I work a full-time job. That's for you. I sleep 8 hours a night. That's for you. I eat 3 meals a day. That's for you. What are you doing for somebody else? You see, we take, but do we put out? I came home one day, and you got to remember, I live in New Mexico. Rocks are this big around if you dig more than a half an inch deep in the ground. If you start off digging a post hole, you could bury that pulpit in it because all the rocks keep caving in. It winds up this big. Well, I came home one day, and my wife said, and by the way, I've been married almost 50 years. I told Brother Stanley's church yesterday, if you've been married almost 50 years, you'll learn some things. You can learn that you can be happy or you can be right. Amen. It didn't take you that long to figure that one out? Well, you're smarter than most men. Well, I come home one day and my wife said, I want you to dig me 4 holes. We're going to plant some blueberry bushes. Now, my wife does not understand that blueberry bushes will not grow in New Mexico. But she had ordered them on the computer, because if the computer says it, it's true. And some of you guys have gotten away from reading your Bible and you're reading the computer. Ooh, that went over well, didn't it? And she had these four blueberry bushes there. She says, I want you to dig me four holes. You know what it takes to dig four holes in rock? So I went and I dug little bitty holes that wound up this big. And she came and she said, oh, no. The roots that hit those rocks, it won't grow. It's got to be deeper. I looked her right in her God-given eyeball. I said, yes, dear. And I dug them deeper. Amen. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And then she said, fill those holes full of water. Now, boys and girls, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out. You're in the high deserts of New Mexico where rocks are this big around. You could run to water till Jesus came again and not fill up them holes. And she said, take the tractor down to the river and get some of that topsoil and fill them up. So I did. She said, now fill them full of water. It was gone. She said, go to hell. No. What's that place that's next door to hell? Walmart. She said, go to Walmart. She said, go to Walmart and get me five bales of peat moss. Now, that sounds good to you folks who live in the city. I live on Indian Reservation. It's 30 miles to Walmart. But I'm a good man. I went to Walmart. I like to eat at night. And we put that in there. Then she said, get some horse manure and put it in there. And now plant these plants. And we planted them. A year later, we watered them. We fertilized them. They'd go. Whatever you put in that hole, they just sucked it up. And not one time did it ever give any fruit. Dr. Carter, we can't pay our light bill. Can the church help? Preacher, we need some groceries. Preacher, can you help us out? We can't afford to tithe. Always taking in. Every one of you, just be careful. You don't like me already, so let me just make the rest of you mad. You already know more Bible than you are doing. And you sit in a good church like this that still believes the book, that still believes in soul winning, still believes in dressing right and acting right and being right and doing right. And you sit here going, when's the last time you won someone to Jesus? Amen. When's the last time you prayed for somebody in need? Instead of all the time. When's the last time you gave to the poor? He that giveth to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And he will not be a debtor to anybody. Amen. We're always taking in, but are we putting out? Why did he carry a conversation on with the tree? The Lord wants his timing and not yours. It said in verse 13, it was the time of figs was not yet. Now, I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Now, and by the way, don't come after church to talk to me about that. So when you do that, I have a Marine Corps fit. And you wouldn't like me when I'm having a Marine Corps fit. I got mad about something the other day, and I looked over, my wife just shaking her head. I said, I'm sorry. I had me a Marine Corps fit. She said, that wasn't a Marine Corps fit. That was a chitty fit. Don't blame that on the Marine Corps. The time was not, for figs were not yet. Yet the Lord wanted his timing and not theirs. Was it John 11 when they accused him of being there too late when he raised Lazarus? Yeah. You came too late. Was he late? Did the result turn out the way it should? Yep. But God wants his timing and not mine and your timing. You college kids, you young Christians, you young adults, listen to me carefully. When you make this statement, I'm going to serve God when I get out of debt. Let me take the mystery out of it. Ready? You ain't never going to get out of debt. Listen carefully. You give a woman a credit card, and she will become a Confederate general. Charge! It's a truth. Seven women just went, wasn't funny. Listen to me carefully. The devil will make sure you don't get out of debt if that's your excuse not to serve God. When I can lose 50 pounds, I'm going to serve God. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You ain't about to do that. Then let me hurry along. Why did Lord carry on a conversation with the tree and put it in the Word of God? The Lord wants the fantastic, the supernatural, the not supposed to happen, the out of the ordinary out of you. Son, where are you from? I'm sorry? Oh, I heard what he said. I'm just sorry he lives there. I just preached West Virginia. I love West Virginia. Went fishing there, bass fishing. But one day, you could, wherever God's going to lead you, maybe back to West Virginia, I don't know. One day, you could do greater things for God than Mickey Carter ever did. But if you do that, because he's a great man, it's going to take the extraordinary. It's going to take something out of the ordinary. It's going to take something special. It's going to take something that shouldn't happen. You understand that? I did not have a mama growing up. My first generation Christian. First one in my family ever get saved. I had gone to my sister who had quit the seventh grade to raise us. After I got saved, I came back wounded. I got wounded 10 times in Vietnam, put in a body bag for dead once. They thought I'd bled to death. And I came back and I got saved in Florida. I was saved in Florida, born in Florida. Never mind. But when I came back and got saved, I witnessed all my family, but I didn't know my mom. So I asked my sister, "Where's my mother?" "I don't know and I don't care." And I kept asking different people, and I found where my mother's baby sister was. And I called her and asked her, and she said, "Your mama got remarried, and she lives in West Florida at a sawmill in a mill house." Now, you young people don't know what a mill house is, but years ago, it was a sawmill, a sugar mill, a cane mill. They had mill houses around the mill, and that's where you lived if you worked there. And she said her husband is a truck driver. "I just had surgery on this arm from getting it blown off of Vietnam. I have a cast on it, and I drove over 300 miles with a stick shift car, and I found my mama. I did not know all the times that my wife or my dad would get a Western Union telegram. Also, since she was my biological mother, she got one. I didn't know that." So she had got all these telegrams. She knew all about me. When I knocked on the door, my stepdad, who I did not know, opened the door. And instead of saying, "Yeah, what can I do for you? Come on in," he stared at me. Because you remember, I'm like this. He opened the door and stepped back. And I could look through the living room, that little mill house, wasn't much of a house. And in the kitchen, my mother was working in that kitchen. I didn't know her. I stepped in, and she ran toward me as hard as she could run. And when she got there, she didn't know. She wanted to grab me, but she was afraid to. She didn't know how I would just run. So I put my arm around her and grabbed her, and you could feel her whole body shaking. She was crying so hard. And she fainted on me, and I've only got one arm. So I let her fall into a chair. I got down on my knees, and this is what I told her. I said, "I come to tell you." And I told her how I got saved, and I said, "I want you to know that if God can forgive me, I can forgive you, and I won my mama to Jesus.
Amen.
Preached her funeral right up here in North Florida. Are you listening to me? God wants the fantastic. He wants the supernatural. He wants the not supposed to happen. He wants something out of the ordinary from us. Why would he carry on a conversation with a tree? And then why would he put it in the only book that he'd leave us? Just maybe we need to learn something from it. Thank you.